Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show with a big smile on his face on the other side of the glass. But he'd be smiling even if he was on this side of the glass, because you had your sugar fix already. Was that a box of donuts that you polished off that you brought in here already?
No. Well, it could be that, or it could be some dark chocolate candy bars.
Oh, maybe so, maybe so. We got your number there. It's the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, and of course we've got our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Very proud of the fact that we have all of our programs since we started in January of 2011. Pretty much every one of them archived for you, and it's very easy to use that at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, we like to do a nice shout-out to some of the folks in the media who support our program, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith's fine organization. Dylan will be joining us at 12:30, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun.
I've given up on you, Bill.
I know. I don't pronounce the H.
That's right, because it's
Sahorita.
Sahorita. Yeah, it's close.
All right. Dan Shear is the editor of those fine publications. TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans all prominently display the Buckmaster Show logo with a convenient link over to our program. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier joins us. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm very well, my friend. Good to see you again.
You are very proud, and I think everybody in the community should be proud of the fact. I looked at the video on Facebook of your pilot, the rescue work that was done by not only sheriff's deputies, but volunteers at the Tankaverde Falls, saving 17 lives Sunday.
And one of them, a four-year-old child. I mean, that's just
the
amazing
guy was
video.
Holding the four-year-old child. Yeah. And like standing on a rock and holding what's left of a tree.
Can you imagine the terror the father was going through at that point? You're holding your child and thinking that any minute you're going to be washed down.
And is this, you have one full-time helicopter, right?
Yes, we do. Okay. We have a couple of fixed-wing assets, but one full-time helicopter. And a lot of that time is spent on rescue operations. I mean, it's really nearly a daily occurrence that we're, you know, in Sabino Canyon, Tankaverde Falls, Bear Canyon, up on Mount Lemmon, because we have a lot of hikers, unfortunately, that don't use very good judgment. Take out for a hike in July at 1:30 in the afternoon with no water is a bad idea. And we end up going back and rescuing these people very frequently.
Who are these people that volunteer? Are they just they do this for free, this search and rescue group?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of them, right?
Yeah, there's a whole cadre of these people, and they're just exceptionally dedicated. They're outdoorsy type people. They love being out in the our forest areas, and they're just absolutely wonderful folks that donate, you know, hundreds of hours. And if you can imagine, you know, the helicopter brings a lot of panache to it. Mm-hmm. But often what happens is these people will have to carry a person in a basket for miles down a trail. And that is very arduous work. Sometimes these trails are hard to hike, much less if you're carrying a 150 or 200-pound person on a sled.
Well, please extend to your pilot, or do you have a couple of pilots, I assume?
A couple of pilots and a couple of rescue folks.
Tell them the community is very happy.
Well, we're very proud of them. National attention to our department and our community, and that's just fantastic.
All right, here's Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sun.
There you go.
That's safe. You could do Sun, didn't you, Bill?
There you go. So you've been sheriff about 7 months now. What are some of the biggest changes that you have made to the department that the public would actually notice?
The things I think they would notice is when we took office, we were about $6 million plus in the red. And we made a lot of changes. We became a lot leaner, a lot smarter in the way we approach things. And I'm waiting for the final number, but I was telling Mr. Huckleberry the other day that our projections right now are that we more than cut in half that deficit in 6 months without affecting anything that occurs when people call 911. Very proud of that. Our citizen-based complaints are down significantly in the first two quarters of this year, this calendar year. I'm very proud of our deputies who are out there providing service to the community and apparently doing a very good job. I mean, our complaints are down by about 40%, which is really remarkable considering all the public contacts that we have. We've been working really hard to get the department back on its feet, kind of put a little bounce in our step again. The election process is always an arduous process and disruptive to the department.
So you're really working on customer service.
Customer service, and I think that starts from the top. I mean, you show me a business that gives good external customer service, I'll show you a business that gave good internal customer service first. And I believe in that. You have to care about the people who are actually out doing the work, which I do. I'm very passionate about that. It doesn't mean that you pander to them. It simply means that you support and care about them. And I do, from the bottom of my heart. I was a line level officer for a very long time before I did anything else. So I have appreciation for the fact that when I go to bed at night, there are people out doing the work of my department, and I have the greatest respect for those people.
You've just gone through your first budget process. How was that? Describe it, and are you happy with the outcome?
Well, I don't know any sheriff will say, yeah, I got all the money I wanted. I would never go down that. But I would say that it was fair. We had to absorb a lot of external cost, pension cost and employee-related expenses. And the board was pretty generous in helping us absorb those costs. Our baseline budget went up from the prior year. So while I would have liked to have had some of our infrastructure, IT infrastructure, as our supplementals covered, those were important things that didn't get covered this go around. We couldn't do anything about compensation. Obviously, when you go into that process and you're more than $6 million in the red, we can't talk about compensation increases. We're working really hard on a new compensation strategy that I think will be very good for the deputies, our sergeants, and our correction staff. We'll be rolling that out during the next budget year.
So you think raises in the next budget year then? I know you're not promising anything, but what do you...
I think we're going to roll out a plan, Dan. I think that's the main thing is we've got to come up with a cogent plan for doing that. And the STEP program has never been funded. It doesn't have a lot of community support. Decompression, a lot of people don't even understand what that means. So it doesn't have a lot of finance. So we're going to go based on more of a merit-based system, much like a military model, where there'll be different stages at which people will test or engage in assessments, and commensurate with that assessment will be a proof of additional skills, knowledge, and abilities. And with that, of course, comes additional compensation. So we're working really hard on that. We had a working committee meeting yesterday afternoon, and so we're going to be presenting that to the Board of Supervisors in the next budget year.
How about the overtime situation?
I could not be more happy with my department in that regard. I think it was in November, the department expended about 5,400 hours of overtime, and we're running about 1,300 or 1,400 hours of overtime now. And really all that happened that was different is just asking people to be a little bit more cautious, a little bit more sensible about how we expend overtime, to make good decisions about that. And then also, often the deputies will electively take compensatory time as opposed to compensation, and because that gives them time off in the future.
Comp time instead of the...
Instead of direct pay.
Okay.
And so we've got good participation there. And I think our first level command staff are paying a lot more attention to it. I really need to push budget accountability down the organizational ladder, really to the operational or cost center level. And that's not been done in the past.
And you have how many deputies now? What's your total portfolio?
Well,
got the jail.
Yeah. The easy way to say it is 500, 500, 500. Essentially 500 sworn members, that's badge and gun people, about 500 in corrections, and then about 500 administrative people. That's not exact, but that's the easy way to say it.
I know it's not exact, but 500 administrators sounds awfully heavy.
Well, that would be everything from, that would be like dispatchers, clerical people, support people for the detention facility, like cooks and all kinds of things. So we have the forensic people, that would include those. And those are approximate numbers. I'm off on that, but that's a thumbnail way of looking at it.
Have you found that over the last few months that you have needed to move some resources to underserved areas? Are you seeing that that's much of an issue, that you've had to move some deputies here and out of other areas? I mean, was it an issue when you came in?
Not so much of that, Dan, as I thought we were exceptionally top heavy. And we have become much leaner at the top, and that's where I really wanted to start. We'll look at resource allocation. We have a group of deputies in the academy now. When they come out, we'll look some more at resource allocation at a line level. But We've eliminated one bureau chief position, chief of staff position, chief deputy position, a captain position, a lieutenant position, and all these things don't really add measurably to public safety, but they add immensely to the budget of our department. So my commanders and my chiefs and I are working a whole lot harder because we're working a lot leaner than we ever have in the past.
Dan, you were with me when Mr. Huckleberry was with us the day that the sheriff, or I think the sheriff, had previously announced about the extending the RICO investigation.
Right, yeah. In June, you asked the county attorney's office to continue looking into your department's use of RICO funds, which, of course, stems back to before you were elected. What, and I know that that was moved over to the state AG's office. What do you expect to find, or why do you suspect something is out there?
Well, it's not so much, Dan, that I expect something is out there. Is that there was a lot of concern internally and externally that there may have still been some things on that were not addressed during the federal investigation. I think the federal investigation was complete. I think it was thorough, and I think it was appropriate. I don't have any misgivings at all about my peers at the FBI. I think they did a great job. However, there was another avenue to explore this, and in order to exhaust every possible resource to make sure that we put this to bed, we did request the state review. And I know I've talked to the Attorney General a couple of times, and I know that his department is reviewing the prior investigation, which is fundamentally different than launching a secondary investigation. Currently, what they're doing is they're reviewing the federal investigation to determine if there's anything that was left uncovered that we really need to look at from a state perspective. I expect within a couple of weeks to have some sort of answer from them in that regard.
And you'll accept that?
Absolutely. You know, I don't have any misgivings about the federal investigation. State review, again, was kind of like the last step. This is the last avenue that I could explore to ensure that we maintain and restore the public confidence in the integrity of the department and our use of RICO funding.
All right, we'll take our break right here. Dan Scheer sticks around with us from Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun and Mark Napier, the Pima County Sheriff, is with us, and he'll be with us for another segment as well. 790-2040, if you'd like to ask the sheriff a question, he'd be more than happy to entertain that. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off with commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Plus, it is college football time again. We'll talk with our Wildcat sports contributor, Anthony Jimeno. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And Sheriff, what are the crime statistics looking like right now for our area?
Well, honestly, Bill, they're up a little bit. And that's not just about Pima County, but I think in general, they're up a little bit in Pima County, Tucson. We're on top of that. We're looking at it. It's not so much that it's like dramatic, in which I would, you know, alarm bells would go off. One of the things that we have done is we've reorganized our patrol districts to be full service districts. So each district lieutenant has a full array of tools in their toolbox. So they have a contingent of motors to deal with traffic problems, a DUI facet, an investigative facet, and then a directed patrol element, so that each one of these district lieutenants can respond proactively to problems in his or her respective district. And they've not had those tools before because they were centralized. So if you wanted those resources, you had to ask the central department for those to be allocated to you, rather than have them at your disposal so you could be more nimble in your approach.
And how many districts are there that you...
Well, they're the primary ones in the Tucson are the
Foothills,
Santa Vera, and Rincon are the primary mm-hmm. ones. Of course, then we have Ajo, mm-hmm. Green Valley, which is kind of a place unto itself. Lieutenant Johnson's doing a fantastic job down there. I'm very proud of him. And he had big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. Jeff Palmer's shoes were exceptionally big to fill, and he's done a good job down there.
Well, my neighbors want me to ask you. We had, and I wrote about it on Facebook, we had... actually very close to where I live, someone had cased a place. They had realized the residents were away for the summer, which is very, very common in the foothills. Cased the place and apparently brought in some kind of a moving van and took literally everything from the picnic table out back by the pool, left a few pieces of furniture, took what was on the walls. So folks are concerned. What do you have to say to them?
Well, be good neighbors. You know, we have approximately 500 sworn members of the department. We're covering 9,200 square miles. We're not everywhere. We can't be. So the more eyes that we have on problems, the more people looking out for their neighbors. And for goodness sakes, if something doesn't look right, it probably isn't. And call 911. The worst that happens is we come out and find out that they were moving a new couch in, mm-hmm. and everything's legitimate. But
right.
It's better to do that than to find out later that the whole house was cleaned out. So we really rely on good partnership with the community to help us with crime, because a lot more eyes are a lot better than a few.
Here's Dan Scheer.
You spoke this week to a representative from Senator Claire McCaskill's office about the impact of the border wall. and Border Security. She is from Missouri, but she's on the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. What did you tell them?
Well, I spoke to a couple of her aides. We had a very long, multifaceted discussion about the issues along our southern border. I think that I can see the border better from my office than they can from Washington, D.C., and I think they really need, and I'm very grateful the fact that her staff contacted a border sheriff, because I think this is where the rubber meets the road. We understand the nature of these problems. I've been on the border multiple times. In fact, I'll be down there again on Monday with the Border Patrol to some of their forward outposts on the western parts of our county. But I explained that, you know, the idea that we're going to put a 30-foot-high concrete wall on the full expanse of even my county is never going to happen. We need to get over that. It's not going to happen. It's a great soundbite. It's very interesting to tweet, but it's also, from a public policy standpoint, it's not going to happen. Not the least of which, an impediment to that, is the Tonawatam Reservation, which transcends the international border. They're not going to allow a wall. We need to be respectful of their culture and also the sovereign nature of the Tonawatam Reservation.
You were out there recently.
I was, and talk about wonderful host. Sheriff Mark Lamb from Pinal County and I went down there, and you could not ask for any more gracious, warm host. We toured the border down by the San Miguel Gate. They explained to us some of the cultural things that they're concerned about. The fact that we should respect the sovereign nature of the Tonawatam Reservation and the people and the cultural differences. I think they're much more amenable to technology and human resources than we ever imagined. We just have not approached them correctly. And I know Sheriff Lamb and I have planned to continue our relationship with the Tonawatam people and tribal officials down there to try to make inroads. That 70-mile expanse of international border is a major liability, not for Pima County. This is the other thing I talked to the senator's staff about. Tonight, this afternoon, when somebody ODs on fentanyl on a street in Des Moines, Iowa, there's a high likelihood that came through my county. And, you know, about 40% of the illicit drugs are coming through Arizona. So it's a national problem. So to simply say, well, that's something that's happened in Arizona, no, it's not. When we dispatch police officers and medical professionals and the coroner and all the resources incumbent upon handling an overdose in Des Moines or Indianapolis or wherever, that is a problem that probably stemmed from the porous nature of our border. The drug trade has changed. I mean, we could do an entire show on the changing nature of the drug trade. We're not seeing as much marijuana come across the border. That's primarily the type of drug that comes across the desert areas, you know, with coyotes and mules and by vehicles. What we're seeing now is a whole lot more of the illicit drugs coming across the ports of entry. And that's another thing I told this.
Oxycontin,
fentanyl, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine are easy to conceal. If we were drug dealers and we decided we're going to be marijuana drug dealers, we have to import tons to make a lot of money. It's a big shipping item. It's a high volume. Mm-hmm. Whereas fentanyl or Oxycontin, which really is more fentanyl than anything else, and heroin and methamphetamine, if we imported 10 pounds of that, we've made a lot of money. And that's coming through the ports of entry. So I explained to the senator's staff there needs to be a lot more discussion on shoring up our ports of entry, because we need to be better at interdicting on the ports of entry, but also we need to be more efficient in transnational commerce, which is a big deal. It's about $9 billion to the state of Arizona's economy every year, and we got to make those ports more effective portholes for legitimate transnational commerce, while at the same time making them impenetrable for illegitimate commerce, human trafficking, and the illicit drug trade. The other thing missing from the discourse, and I could really get off on a rant on this, as I did, unfortunately, with the senator's staff, is we're not talking about the human rights tragedy of this. We saw it in San Antonio very graphically here recently. There is a human rights tragedy embedded in the porous nature of our border. This is, to all my Democrat friends, I love you and I respect your opinions about this, but this is not compassionate public policy. To tacitly encourage people to come across the deserts of Pima County today. We find about 150 bodies a year in the deserts of our county, and these are people that their loved ones will never know. We're finding bones. We don't know if they were victims of crime, victims of the environment. We'll never know. This is not compassionate public policy. We need to fix the immigration system. We need to secure the border because it is a public safety problem. It's a national security problem, and it's a human rights tragedy. and we need to paint the picture in Washington, D.C. more effectively. One of the things that sheriffs are doing across the country is trying to dissociate the argument from illegal immigration to transnational crime. And criminal illegal aliens are fundamentally different than undocumented immigrants. And we get caught up in the vernacular and the semantics of these terms an awful lot to the joining of this argument and from moving this forward as effective public policy, and that's a problem.
All right, Sheriff, we're going to let you go. I've only got about a minute. You've got some new deputies coming from the academy, right?
Yes, we've got a new class in and also a new class of corrections people coming on the department.
And we haven't talked about the situation with the jail. Any quick comment about that?
Just the little soundbite that I'm very proud of those people. We have about 1,900 people in our jail today. And when I talk to sheriffs around the country and I ask them what keeps them up at night, they say their jail. And that really isn't what keeps me up at night. Our people are just doing a fantastic job over there.
All right. Sheriff Napier, thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Dan Scheer sticks around. Dylan Smith is waiting in the wings from TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select Wholesale Installation Company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR6030-5859, EnhancedOpenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is our Friday Roundtable. It's the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer is here. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dylan Smith is here, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Dan, thank you very much for your participation with the sheriff. Sheriff has some strong things to say about the border, and a lot of what he says about the border perhaps will not make some folks happy.
Right, and probably some folks who generally align themselves with him and Republican politics. And again, let me throw in here one more time, why is the sheriff's job a partisan vote? I don't quite get it. But you know what, though? I think he has a good defense for where he stands. So, and he gave it to you today.
Mm-hmm. Dylan, welcome. Good to see you again, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
Senator McCain's office put this out just a few minutes ago that the senator will be returning to Arizona. We were kind of expecting that, to undergo treatment at
chemotherapy, radiation,
the whole nine yards, what McCain's office says the standard post-surgical regime, but he'll be gone right through the August recess.
I was just finishing up a story on that right before I rushed over here to be on your show.
Good. So that folks can see that right now at TucsonSentinel.com. Was the senator's vote today a somewhat of a payback to President Trump and some of the unkind things that the president had said about Senator McCain, Dylan?
Payback for Johnny Mac. you know, a little bit. McCain, I think, made his stance on how he thinks the Senate ought to be run pretty clear earlier in the week. And, you know, this is not the way he wants to do business. I think, you know, some of those issues played into it, you know, process issues, definitely concerns about the policy, and I think, you know, a little bit of personal politics. And we saw that not just with McCain, but also with the senator from Alaska, where the Trump administration was basically promising to at first exempt Alaska from the most onerous provisions of the repeal, and then really sort of threatening Alaska with, you know, funding being withdrawn from other areas.
And there's a lot of federal funding and a lot of federal land in Alaska.
And that, well, and for any senator, that's not the kind of thing that they take kindly to. If you start doing that, you are probably not going to convince them. That's just not how things work.
Dan, what did you say about that?
Well, there's a lot of speculation down in our community this whole week as the votes were going on and everything. And I think the speculation is that, yeah, there's a little bit of payback. There might have been some introspection due to his own health issues and maybe a change of heart. I think the bottom line is I'm going to believe John McCain when he just says he didn't like the policy, the bill that was in front of them, and he thinks that they can do better together. And I think that's his message.
Let's go to the live line. Gary has checked in. Gary says he is an internet listener in Bisbee. It's great to hear. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask your guest, with all due respect to John McCain and his service to our country, do we now need to question with this new information on his health? I feel there's a gray area of, will he be able, and when is the time where he cannot perform the duties of the office of making these very important votes? Does that play a consideration into the happenings that are going on now in light of this new information?
You know, we went through this when Gabby Giffords was shot,
yeah.
And about 6-8 months into that, our question was, are her constituents' needs being met? And remember, there, he had a whole office that was dealing with nothing but that. So the bulk of what they do really is on a level that most of us don't see, and that was being taken care of. But we did put a poll question out there saying, should she resign? And we got a lot of blowback from people just for even floating that question. I think it was a legitimate question, because I think by that time we pretty much knew about where she was going to be. She had already kind of shown herself publicly and everything, and I thought it was okay to start asking that question. For John McCain, it's a different situation with cancer, and he knows kind of what's coming down the road, and it's a little bit more predictable, but I really feel strongly that he needs to make that call.
And, you know, really, constitutionally, he is the person to make that call, just as Gabby was the person to decide when she was to resign. It's, you know, I think anybody who is in public service is, you know, personally committed to what they're doing, you know, invested where that's, you know, a part of who they are, especially if they've been doing it for a very long time. So it is hard to let go sometimes. I think, for the most part, when we've seen this sort of thing in the past, people have resigned at the appropriate point. Sometimes people have hung around a little bit too long, or it becomes, you know, rather apparent that they are not doing the job to their fullest potential. We posted last week just a simple story outlining the sort of what happens if McCain resigns.
And that came out, as I recall, Dylan, at TucsonSentinel.com pretty much within hours of the news that...
Yeah, that he had been diagnosed.
Yes. Then, but people were curious, certainly.
We were seeing a lot of...
What is the process?
Yeah, we got some blowback for publishing that story, but we were seeing a lot of conversations taking place that were not founded in how things actually work, that people were thinking that, oh, there's a special election right away, or that, oh, the governor can appoint whoever he wants. And, you know, each state's a little bit different, but Arizona has a very specific process. The governor has to appoint someone who is from the same political party, and then at the next general election... there is a new election to finish out that term.
And everybody was asking that question. That's a perfectly legitimate story. You weren't calling for him to step down or to make a quick decision.
No, just here's some info. You're talking about it. Here are the facts.
And
what about
the right thing to
bad
do.
Timing, as you wrote about, from former State Senator Kelly Ward from Lake Havasu City, Dr. Kelly Ward. And what about her timing with her statement about Senator McCain?
Right, and she was being interviewed on a radio program in Indiana, and she said, look, it looks really bad, and he's really should think serious about stepping aside, and, oh, by the way, I'd love to have the job. Now, she was asked that question specifically, oh, if he did that, would you like to be appointed? And she said, yes, I would, so I don't think that she was necessarily...
lobbying for...
Yeah, although she probably was, because she, you know, she it's obvious, you know, she wants to move on and... into Congress and get some stuff done. There's no doubt about it. But it came off just on the edge of crass, and she did not look good as a result of that. That was inappropriate, and that was, by the way,
wasn't quite the most dignified way to go about things.
Well, and it was less than 24 hours after the announcement had been made, so this was a little soon.
Well, then. You know, she's obviously somebody who wants to be in the Senate. She's run for it before.
She lost to McCain.
Running now against
Jeff Flake.
Yeah.
But remember what her statement got her, and that was a sitting senator saying, your kind is not welcome here. That was a pretty big rebuke.
Yeah.
Dan, let's leave politics for just a second. Can you give us an update on this raw sewage situation down in Santa Cruz County that could impact Pima County?
Oh, yeah. This is a very big deal, and a lot of people don't realize that there is a cross-border sewer line between Nogales, Sonora, Nogales, Arizona, and it heads to the treatment plant in Rio Rico. It is called the International Outfall Interceptor. There are boards that manage this. There are a lot of people who oversee it. That line carries 14 million gallons of raw sewage and runoff every day from Mexico up to that Rio Rico plant. and it ruptured.
Or
and
that's down to that plant.
That's yes, you're right.
Because it's going all this, downstream.
Exactly. So it all flows north. Right. But this is potentially very dangerous. It's in the Potrero Creek, which feeds into the Santa Cruz River, and we all know that that heads this way. So there are a lot of health questions. There are a lot of environmental questions, and we'll just have to see how bad this gets. But right now they're saying it's going to cost about $5 million to fix the thing. Everyone's figuring out who's going to do that. But Army Corps of Engineers has been contacted, the feds, the Governor Ducey is heavily involved.
He declared it a state of emergency, right?
And the county has done that also. And this is very, very big. And our sister paper, the Nogales International, has been doing a great job of covering it. For updates, I'd go to their website. But this is potentially disastrous. So we got to really keep a good eye on it.
If that whole thing just breaks loose, it would be a situation.
Right. And remember, it's raw sewage plus it's runoff. And because of some pretty heavy monsoon storms, particularly in Mexico, a lot of that just, they think that that's the reason, although they haven't pinpointed it. But it broke. It's bubbling up. It's pretty ugly. The Sarita police actually went down there with their drones to fly it over to give them a better look at what was going on there. So you have lots of agencies and involved. Money ultimately is going to be the question. Mexico's involvement, what are they going to help on this? And this is pretty serious.
I recall it happening before down there.
I don't recall something exactly like this happening before. There have certainly been issues where, stuff flowing this way, it's been blocked by debris and other things like that. And quite frankly, they have floated, drug loads through this thing and whatever, all sorts of fun going on with this. But right now, it's, again, let me say it, 14 million gallons a day of raw sewage and runoff heading this way.
It's a bit of a mess.
It is.
Could get worse.
Before we go with you, Dan and Dylan, I want to also bring up former Congresswoman, Ann Kirkpatrick, who ran unsuccessfully against Senator John McCain in the general election, which was just last year. So you wrote that a little bit about this kind of carpetbagger label, which is going to be kind of hard, isn't it, for her to kind of divorce herself from moving to the district?
Well, her previous district, CD1, does extend almost all the way down into
to
Tucson.
It
covers the northwest side, Marana, Oro Valley. Ann Kirkpatrick is not someone who is unfamiliar with Tucson. She started her career working down here. But it'll be a very easy thing to tag her with for the Republicans. And for the Democrats, if she does end up being their candidate, they have time and again tried to paint McSally as somewhat of a carpetbagger for not having had the most long-term connection to the district. It completely takes that off the table for them.
And really, I had a bigger issue with her, not the carpetbagging, because actually, I think for Congress, you don't even have to live in the district to run for
it. It's not required. It's just, you should know the people you're representing.
Your issue went back to a recording that was made.
There's a secret recording of Martha McSally, who was talking to some bank officials, and in it, she was bemoaning the fact that she's being tied to Donald Trump, and every time he does something stupid, she's getting blamed for it. Kirkpatrick, in her announcement that she was running for office, took some of McSally's words completely out of context and said that she said, "I'm like his twin sister." In other words, I'm just like Donald, and that's awesome. That's not what she said. And so we called her out. This is, frankly, I hate the word misleading statement. It's a flat-out lie because they knew what they were doing. This is not what Martha McSally said. Martha McSally is very good about taking responsibility for what she says and taking the hits and dealing with stuff head-on. So let's at least give her credit for that. She did not say those words in that context.
She was saying them sarcastically about other people trying to tag her with that. Certainly, she votes with the Trump administration on the few votes that Congress has actually taken this year.
97.4%
of the time, almost infallibly. You could make a reasonable case connecting Trump and McSally, but using that quote is not the way to do that.
And I hear this 97% of the time from pretty much all of the candidates. And
it's accurate.
I've tried to interview most of the seven already, And I keep hearing that come up. But you're going to have to run on something more than not liking Donald Trump.
Well, Bill, there are 240 members in the House who are Republicans, and 102 of them have voted 100% with Donald Trump. Okay, so she's in that second tier, and there's like 60 of them who have done 97.4. Remember, that number is only going to get lower as you move on with the votes. But early on, people tend to try to support the president. And you know what? She's a Republican. Why are we surprised that she's voting Republican? So
most votes in Congress are for innocuous things like naming post offices and declaring National Ice Cream Day.
Absolutely. Talk to me in a year about this, and we'll see if it's an issue. But right now, it just bothered me that right out of the gate, Ann Kirkpatrick was doing exactly what we're seeing out of the White House, which is lie after lie after lie. And so we called her on it.
Dylan, I really don't have much time. I probably shouldn't even bring this up, but I'm going to anyway. But I am interviewing the chair, Penelope Jacks, of Strong Start Tucson, which wants a half-cent sales tax increase for early childhood education. I'm interviewing her on Monday. Is this kind of dividing Democrats, or how do you read it in a very short amount of time?
Oh, short is hard.
I'll give you a
proposed change to the city charter to add a tax to support early childhood education, good, well-run preschools, so they say, around the city. And there are a lot of people who are raising a number of questions
about how this would be implemented.
There aren't a lot of details in the city charter change that will be on the ballot. Those are sort of coming after. And a number of people have raised questions about this. We just published a pair of op-eds, one from Penelope Jacks laying out why people should support it, and one from Luke Knipe, a pretty well-known Democratic activist, raising a large number of questions about how things are supposed to work if it does get passed.
Luke points out a nonprofit would be running the implementation.
Yeah, it would not be a
program,
city program. It would
but
be
they
an
would
outside
have up
program.
To 8% for administrative costs.
So I don't have a lot of time to get into all those questions the potential answers. And it's probably good you're cutting me short on this one, because this should be a long conversation with a lot of details. People can go check that out in TucsonSentinel.com.
All right. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Back with Weekend Watch after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The wet and wonderful monsoon season brings more than just rain, as Tona Chule hosts local growers and nationally renowned plant experts for this year's annual Monsoon Madness sale. For more than just plant nerds, anyone can come to buy the weird and wondrous and learn plant care from the professionals. Tona Chule's Monsoon Madness plant sale is Friday, July the 28th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July the 29th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come see us at 7366 North Paseo del Norte or visit our website at tohonachulepark.org.
The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
All righty then, Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Inside Tucson Business, look for his work writing about everything to do with food, brought to you by our Weekend Watch, by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for all the great recreation opportunities over there and many great places to stay. It's a great three-hour getaway, only 3 hours in the car, and pretty much you'll be in a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, what's going on?
Well, you know what? I'm really excited for this weekend. I wish the weekends could start on Thursday, but I'm willing to put in another day. But, Bill, you know, when it comes to great food and wine pairings, I love the flavors of northern Spain. And I'm sure your travels have taken you there a few times.
Indeed.
But tonight at 7 o'clock, Maynard's Kitchen will be hosting a four-course northern Spain wine dinner downtown that kind of showcases the absolute best of this coastal region. So each course, Bill, is thoughtfully paired with a wine from the region. So we're talking about grilled octopus with Spanish peanuts paired with a beautiful Albarino, or the coal-roasted pork chops served up with a beautiful Tempranillo. The full dinner is only $71 a person, including the wine pairings. So I say transport your palate to northern Spain tonight at Maine.
And what about Main Gate Square?
Well, the chefs at all the great restaurants up and down University Boulevard, they are preparing for battle at the Main Gate Square Culinary Challenge. It happens tomorrow night from 7 to 10 in Geronimo Plaza. A panel of judges will decide who has the goods to be crowned the champion of Main Gate, and attendees can also cast their own votes for People's Choice. But, Bill, the best part, it's a free event, and attendees can sample signature menu items for free from participating eateries. Of course, craft beer and wine will be available for purchase with proceeds supporting the Community Food Bank. I'll be emceeing this event. Hopefully, I'll have some time to eat myself at the Main Gate Square Culinary Challenge.
I think you'll carve out a few minutes for some outstanding food. One of our favorite places, of course, Rincon Market.
Absolutely. And you know what? Another food competition this weekend on Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's all about the sandwich at the Summer Sandwich Slugfest at Rincon Market. They've invited some of Tucson's best family-owned eateries to kind of throw down in the sandwich category. $15 will earn you samplings from all the competitors, your choice of a craft beer, and a vote on who deserves to win the big competition. And the winner is going to get a cash donation to the charity of their choice. Now, for me, Bill, as you know, the bigger the sandwich, the better. I am coming hungry to the Sandwich Slugfest on Sunday at Rincon Market.
From a guy who actually has a sandwich named for him. So you know that arena very well, Matt Russell. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. Well, can government ban free speech by campus groups and say they cannot leaflet and gather petition signatures? Attorney Casey Mattox joins Charles Heller on Sunday. At 12 noon, Chris Kelly returns with his grandfather's journal from World War I. Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free. Sunday, right after, you know what it is, Swap Shop Trains a-coming at 10 a.m. Sunday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Like to do a few shout-outs, if possible, here on Friday afternoon. I would like to certainly thank Christophan, the fine young German composer, composing music, our theme music, specifically for the Buckmaster Show. Of course, I want to thank Tom Fairbanks, Tom, my engineer, producer extraordinaire on Fridays. Tom does a great job, as does Ray Allen, who is in that position, in that seat, Monday through Thursday from noon to one on the Buckmaster Show. And really, the whole staff here at KVOI, very supportive, from Doug and Mary Martin, the owners, to the front office staff. Everyone's supportive of our work, and I appreciate it. Have a great afternoon and evening and weekend.